Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Welcome to
Birmingham Citadel.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
That translates to Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
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 Bonjour, bienvenue à Citadel.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Hello and welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Have you ever had a really rubbish day? I read about a man who was sitting in a bar looking at his drink. He stayed like that for half an hour. Then a big troublemaking lorry driver stepped up next to him, grabbed his drink from him, and gulped it down with one swallow. At that, the man burst into tears. The lorry driver said, "Come on, man, I was just joking. Here, I'll buy you another drink. I just can't stand to see you crying like this." "No, it's not that," the man said. "Today is the worst day of my life. First, I overslept and I was late for an important meeting. My boss was outraged and he fired me. When I left the office, I discovered my car had been stolen and the police said there was nothing they could do. I took a taxi home. I thought it couldn't get any worse, but when I walked into my house, and I'd left my wallet on the back seat of the taxi when it drove off. I thought it couldn't get any worse. But when I walked into my house, I found my wife had left me. So I went back out and I stopped by a chemical shop. And then I came here and I've been sitting here thinking about taking my life when you drink all my poison." That was a bad day for both of them, wasn't it, really? Look, the Bible never promises that lives will be free from pain and difficulties. Instead, actually, the Bible promises that we will have trials and tribulations in this life. So how do we manage those rubbish days? I wouldn't want you to think that I was making light of those situations. It highlights, though, that one moment our life can be fine, and then in a split second, it's not. Sometimes through our choices, our own choices, but sometimes through reasons beyond our control. And the story about the 10 lepers helps me to put things in perspective and helps me to manage these sort of periods in my life. Every day was a bad day for these guys with leprosy, yet from their rubbish experience, we can learn some valuable lessons about how as followers of Jesus, we can face each day, be it rubbish or be it the best. Let's look a little bit at their background. In the ancient world, leprosy was a feared disease. It starts with a white patch of skin that becomes so... You're all going to look to see if you can find a white patch of skin though, aren't you? But it starts with this white patch of skin that becomes numb, so much so that the victim can't even feel a needle piercing the spot. The patch begins to spread all over the body and then it manifests itself on the face. So the disease is impossible to hide. And then it begins to form spongy tumors as well on the face, and at the same time attacks the internal organs as well. The nerve endings become so numb, so the victim can't tell if something's hurting them. So like fire, if fire is something is burning their hand. You know, the leprosy itself was not so much fatal, but more lepers died from diseases and infections that they contracted because of their weakened condition. To prevent the infection of others, lepers were isolated. They had to live away from healthy people, cover their faces and cry unclean, unclean, whenever others were around. They were cut off from society, isolated from family and friends. There was apparently no specific distance at which they could should stand from a healthy person. However, it's been noted that at least one authority laid it down that when the leper was windward of a healthy person, he or she should stand at least 50 yards away. Incidentally, although it's contagious, leprosy is actually very difficult to catch and cannot be caught by a handshake, let alone standing within 50 yards of a leper. We still have leprosy to get today. It's called Hansen's disease today, and it's not as widespread as it was, and more importantly, it can be treated and cured. However, in Jesus' day, catching leprosy was probably one of their biggest fears. It was a life sentence, really. Once confirmed, the life of a leper was utter isolation and despair. We may not have leprosy, but I guess we have all known times in our life when we felt utter isolation and despair. When you felt that you can't talk to anyone, there's no one around who really understands. And at those times, it may seem that there's no way out, that life looks set to be like this forever, just like the lepers. And then we read in this story that even though the lepers knew the rules about going near healthy people, they still drew near to Jesus and cried out to him, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And what does Jesus do in their time of utter isolation, in their time of deepest despair? When they drew close to him, he didn't walk away or brush them off like the rest, but he drew close to them. He wasn't fazed by their situation. The lepers saw hope in Jesus, and he offered that hope to them. James reminds us in his letter that we should come near, we should draw near, come near to God, and he will come near to us. He tells us how we can do that. He says we can do that by submitting to God, yielding to his authority and will. We can do that by resisting the devil. Don't allow him to tempt you or push those buttons that you know will make things worse for you. Washing your hands and purifying your hearts. Be cleansed from sin and have the desire to experience God's purity. Grieving, mourning, and wailing. In other words, don't be afraid to express your sorrow. And then humbling yourself before God, recognizing who God is and that our worth comes from him alone. Wherever we are in our spiritual lives, let's learn this lesson from the lepers and daily draw near to God, for he has promised to draw near to us, and in so doing offers us hope. It made a difference to the lepers, and it can make a difference to us also. So when the lepers drew near to Jesus, he tells them to go and show themselves to the priests. Now, sometimes leprosy went into remission, but if this happened, they couldn't just go back to their old lives and their families and their friends straight away. They had to be declared clean by the priests. Remember during the pandemic how there were strict guidelines about how we could venture back into society after having COVID? Do you remember them? Well, Leviticus 14 has some very detailed descriptions and regulations about how a Jewish priest could declare a person to be clean and therefore go back into society. And these 10 men knew they were unclean. They had already been declared lepers. So when they cried out to Jesus, he brought to them a kind of crisis of faith, I guess. They could have said, "No, Jesus, can't you just touch us or something or say words?" Or they could have just looked at their infected limbs and said, "What? But look, we aren't healed yet. Just look." Instead, all 10 of them headed off to see the priest, even though at that point there was no physical evidence of them being clean. I know that because it tells us in verse 14, as they went, they were cleansed. Never happened right at that moment. As they went. There's a powerful lesson about faith here. It wasn't until they stepped out in faith and obeyed Jesus that they experienced his healing power. Jesus gave them the word, they stepped out in faith, and boom, there it was. That's when it happened. They didn't just stand there and say, "Well, I'll go after you've healed me, Jesus. Then I'll go and show myself to the priest." And that's the way that faith works. Sometimes faith is just trusting and obeying God, even if you don't have any visible physical evidence supporting your decision right here in that moment. I love that story in Matthew 14 about the disciples being out on the boat in the middle of the stormy night, and Jesus comes walking to them on the water. Simon Peter cries out, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to walk on the water with you." Jesus says, "Come on." Even though it worked for Jesus, there was nothing to suggest it was going to work for Peter as well, walking on the water. And yet he did. He stepped out in faith, and he could do it. What a picture of faith that was. Peter was walking on the word of God. Faith is walking on the word of God. Faith doesn't need any evidence. It just obeys. The Bible is full of directions on how we are to live, but with every single directive, he also provides power to accomplish it. And our job is to step out in faith and simply obey him. I had heard this brilliant quote about faith that said, "Faith is coming to the edge of all you can see and feel and taking one more step into the darkness, trusting that God will either catch you or teach you to fly." That's ace. I love that quote. The lepers took a step of faith and God caught them. Change doesn't always happen straight away. It often requires faith in order to sometimes walk it out. Another lesson from the lepers. And finally, 9 of the lepers did exactly what Jesus told them to do. 9 of the lepers did exactly what the law told them to do. But 9 of the lepers didn't do the right thing. The Old Testament is full of teachings about how God was frustrated with the worship of his people. They came and they did sacrifices, kept feast days, and did all the rituals they were asked to do, yet they did not give him their hearts. They did not truly worship him. They only did all the right things. Yet in doing those right things, they missed the main thing, God himself. In Jesus' day, there was a group that specialized in keeping the law, and we know them as the Pharisees. They had it down to an art, keeping the letter of the law to the tiniest point, but the spirit of the law, well, perhaps it often fell by the wayside. As I read this story, I'd like to think that I'm the Samaritan, the one who came back to say thank you. But in my heart, I know that more often than not, I'm like those who continued on their way. You can just hear the reasoning. It's been months since I've seen my friends and my family. Jesus will understand. Besides, I have to go to the priest. I'll thank Jesus someday if I ever see him again. If I meet up with him, I'll buy him dinner and thank him. But for now, well, I've got these things to take care of. Besides, I'm doing exactly what I was told to do, aren't I? You can see that we can do the right thing, but perhaps just get it a little bit wrong still. And the passage teaches us about something really important here, thankfulness. And with it being Thanksgiving this past week, this was the main thing that drew me to this story this morning. You know, being thankful is good for your health. Some of the benefits of gratitude that researchers have uncovered include better sleep, better immunity, higher self-esteem, decreased stress, lower blood pressure, less anxiety and depression. Gratitude can also help people feel more positive emotions, relish good experiences, improve their health, deal with adversity, and build strong relationships. It can decrease negative emotions like stress, anger, resentment, and regret, and increase happiness, empathy, self-esteem, mental strength, along with positive mental well-being. Just a word, thank you, can do all of that. It's a no-brainer, really, to be thankful, isn't it? But I've been thinking about thankfulness this past week. And I've realised how often I'm only thankful when I have a need met. Very often our lives revolve around having some type of need met in our life that we think we deserve. And when I think about it this way, it just seems to be so self-centred. And I guess this is where these 9 lepers fit in. We can all associate with them, can't we? God doesn't demand that we thank him. Jesus never said to the lepers, "When you're healed, come back and thank me." But God is so pleased when we do show our gratitude, and he uses that to teach us more about himself and ourselves as well. Tom Wright puts it this way: it's not only the 9 ex-lepers who are shown up, it's all of us who fail to thank God always and for everything, as Paul puts it. We know it with our heads, if we have any Christian faith at all, that our God is the giver of all things, every mouthful of food we take, every breath of air we inhale, every note of music we hear, every smile on the face of a friend, a child, a spouse. All that and a million things more are good gifts from his generosity. The world didn't need to be like this. It could have been far more drab. There's a spiritual discipline of listing one's blessings, naming them before God and giving thanks. It's a healthy thing to do, especially we're in a world where too often we assume we have an absolute right to health, happiness, and every possible creature comfort. True thankfulness has a difficult time coexisting with entitlement. Every time I think about what I do not have that I think I deserve, I miss every amazing and beautiful thing in my life that I get to have, even though I probably don't deserve it. After all, what did those 10 lepers do to deserve being healed compared to the thousands of other people who weren't healed? Unfortunately, we often forget to show our gratitude for what God has given to us because we think we have it out of a sense of entitlement. Jesus says that he healed 10 lepers, but only one returned to praise God. Jesus never says one returned to thank me. He never says that the others did not have faith. He only notes that one of those healed actually used this opportunity to praise God. The others may well have been thankful to God, but only one took the time to show it. Richard Foster writes, "In experience, thanksgiving and praise weave themselves in prayer in and out of one another and become part of an organic whole." Are you truly thankful to God for the good and perfect things he's done in your life? The things that you have that you don't deserve, not just the things that you think you deserve. How do you show that gratitude? The ex-leper who returned to Jesus and praised God for what had happened did it without being told to do so. He did it because it was the right thing to do. True thanksgiving is united with praise. We are truly thankful to God. When we're truly thankful to God, we cannot help but lift up praise to the one who has given us a blessing. Let's not show our gratitude to God out of guilt or because we're told to do so. But daily, let's have the aim that we will never take for granted all that God has given us and learn the lessons of that one leper, to always go back to the source and throw ourselves at God's feet and say thank you and praise him. That's a lesson we learn from the lepers. Draw close to God, step out in faith, and give thanks for his goodness to us. I invite you to join me in praying to be moved regularly, to draw near to God, to step out in faith and give genuine thanks, and to not have that feel like a betrayal of the part of us that still has unmet needs. We're going to take that opportunity to praise God for his goodness to us. If life for you at the moment is rubbish, if life for you at the moment is great, let's learn the lessons from the lepers. Let's draw near to him. let's step out in faith and give thanks for his goodness. We're going to sing just two verses in the choruses of a beautiful song that talks about God's goodness. And then Louise is going to continue to play that quietly. And I encourage you there to speak out words of praise and thanksgiving for the goodness of God in your life. Show your praise and thanksgiving to him. And so we sing, I love you, Lord, oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. We sing two verses as choruses, and then the music will pray quietly. And I just invite you to offer your praise and thanksgiving for the goodness of God to God, our Creator. What have you got to be thankful to God for? What are the things you have that you don't deserve? Thanks this morning as we sing this beautiful song of praise and thanksgiving to God. Music's just going to keep playing. I invite you to speak out your words of praise and thanksgiving if you want to, but take this time to thank God and praise him for the things you have, the things you don't deserve. Just do that just now. it's not often that we have this opportunity, just in this quietness, to just really consider all that we have. All that we have that we don't deserve. All about the goodness of God. Every day we get up and we have this before us. Sometimes we just see the rubbish that's before us. And yet we forget to see the faithfulness of God constantly with us in that rubbish, sustaining us, keeping us going. We're here today because of it. Will you join me singing that song? I love you, Lord, or your mercy never fails me. Will you join me with those words again, please, Dennis? I love you, Lord, oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Situations that our family are going through today, where it's hard to walk in faith, it's hard to draw near, it's hard to see the thankfulness of God. And as we just continue to thank God for all His goodness to us, despite all the stuff of life, let's continue to just pray for a moment. Ever-present God, you meet us in the borderlands, in places neither here nor there, at times when we are well out of our comfort zone. Even if we don't know where we're going, when we feel most lost, you are there. Thank you, God. You meet each of us where we are, and many of us in our need, feeling isolated, not wanting to be a burden, with faltering self-worth. it was in the borderland that you met a band of lepers whose livelihood was begging, whose status was untouchable, and touched their lives with hope. And it was the Samaritan, the one most of all outsiders, who turned back to give thanks. Lord, this morning we thank you for all we can learn from them about gratitude, grace, and healing hope. And I pray for each of us today that we will draw near to you, step out in faith, trusting you and giving thanks, even when we don't feel like it. Thank you, God, for your goodness. So much we don't deserve. Let's pick up that chorus. All my life you've been thankful. Great.